Life with the Girlfriends with Christine Marie and Julie. Hello.
Hi, Julie.
Hey, Mama.
Are we here again?
We're here again.
It's so amazing. We've been doing these 101 little videos for our YouTube channel.
Yes.
We are almost halfway through.
Yep.
And sometimes they put us in an altered state.
For sure.
And we've been, this whole morning has been about forgiveness, which has been
awesome,
amazing journey for me.
Yeah, because we started off with our class doing a meditation on loving kindness.
Yes.
And just what does that feel like, right? Yeah. To start your day with loving kindness.
And to wish, not just yourself.
Yes.
And it was easy because you first went, wish yourself well and happiness. Yeah. Okay, I can do that. Wish your parents. Oh, that's no problem. I can do that.
I can do that.
Wish your spouse or your significant other.
Yeah, I want him to be well. Yeah. You know, he's pissing me off right now, but I want to be well. Yeah.
Wish your enemy.
Like, oh.
Wait, what?
What?
No, wait a minute.
What?
Wish your pets.
Yeah.
What?
What? My pet.
And then all of a sudden, I went, oh, I get it. I got to wish everybody loving kindness.
Everybody. Everybody. And we
then
do
I,
that.
And then I realized that, oh, man, this is significant. I've got work to do here.
Exactly. I got a little work to do here. Yeah. It's like, Lucy, you got some explaining to do.
I got some explaining to do.
We've been starting to read Leslie
Temple
Thurston. Mm-hmm. Leslie Temple Thurston.
That's a
Marriage
name, isn't it?
Of Spirit.
Yes.
We're in the beginning. She's talking about her time in South Africa. Mm-hmm. She was born in South Africa, mm-hmm. Around apartheid.
Yes.
And I just love her right now because I love this idea that her guys told her to move away, mm-hmm. and that her job was to just send loving kindness, basically.
Yes.
She just said she would meditate and hold the intention for her home to be healed.
Her guide said, you know what? You need to get out of South Africa now.
Yes.
And then create a space I think they told her to move to LA.
Yeah.
And she began, and to create a space with other people to hold the intention for healing in South Africa. And she created this huge school.
I remember growing up hearing about apartheid, mm-hmm. and just not believing it.
Yeah, and I never really got it unless I understood the word apart.
Yeah.
No, seriously.
I know.
I didn't really get it.
Like, and then apart.
Keep them apart. Okay,
yeah, got it. And because it happened in modern times. Mm-hmm. This is modern times.
Right.
Like, how did we have a background? How do we have just a stupid thought of that?
Yeah.
And then you realize that when stupid thoughts get unchecked, they end up in apartheid, you know?
Yes,
So in some ways, we talk about ignoring stuff, you know, like it's good to ignore bad things. Mm-hmm. But if you notice that some people are focusing on them, mm-hmm. let's go have those go checked.
Let's not make our motto, make apartheid great again.
Let's not have that as our motto, please. That would be bad. Let's check that. I have to check that hat at the door, please.
That's a MAGA hat.
Can you imagine, though, if you were someone who was into sarcasm,
mm-hmm.
or, you know, and the irony. Yeah. And
or then, irony.
Yeah. And then you went to a hat press maker. Huh? And you're like, okay. And you're like, I want 1,000 hats that says make apartheid great again. Like, what? What?
And make them pink.
And can you make them pink? The hat's pink, please, for me?
And ears.
Yeah. Like, what? What's going on here? And if you're the hat maker, do you say, we don't do this?
That's right.
I go, even if it's ironic?
Yeah.
Oh, wait a minute.
No, we stand against
apartheid.
Yeah, we hate irony here at the shop.
Yeah, we hate irony. I hate irony.
We're going to take it all the way to Supreme Court. Let's see what the federal judges say about irony.
Yeah. I did not want to make this hat. I know they are being ironic. They did not agree with apartheid. But still, I do not believe in apartheid, and I'm not going to make, or I don't believe in irony. It's horrible. And I'm like, oh. You're like, you can believe whatever you want. You don't have to make a hat. No big deal. Or then do you go, well, your store, your hat making store is on a public road where taxpayer money, people who do believe in irony, they exist and they pay taxes to have this road made.
So when the trucks come by to shovel the snow off the road, they're going to leave your snow there.
Yes, because they believe in irony and they're not going to support anybody.
And their taxpayer money, they're not going to pay for your road. Whoa, wait a minute. Are we taking this too far?
Well, I just don't know how far to take it, because now
I
it's like.
I can take it pretty far.
Yeah, I can take it down this rabbit hole. I'm like, they're like, what are the girlfriends talking about today? I don't know.
I don't either. We're probably having fun. How far does the rabbit hole go? Does it go into the inner core?
Goes through China.
It goes through China.
I remember, China, Virginia. I swear to God, when I was a little kid, that was our whole goal.
It was to dig a hole to China.
Like, I'm going to China.
I'm leaving you, Mama. I refuse to stay in this household one more day. I'm digging my hole to China.
Well, I think when we were growing up, we had Gregory pretended. He wanted to run away from home.
Oh, he did. Yeah, he
wanted to run away. And you said, no problem. I'll pack for you. Yeah. And you decided to give him the biggest ass suitcase you could find and fill it with the heaviest stuff.
Yeah.
Well, his stuff. But there were still, it wasn't going light.
It was so great because I remember the day that it cost me a quarter. In those days, that was maybe 50 cents. I don't know. But it was this huge, huge old-timey suitcase.
Yes.
And I went, this is going to be perfect.
Right.
For either one of my children when they decide that they're going to run away from home.
Yes.
I just waited. To that fateful day that little Gregory said, I want to run away from home. I went, dang, that's
great.
I got
the suitcase for you.
That's right.
We got it made. And so he had to, if he wanted to run away, he had to bring his stuff with him. He had to take it all with him.
All of it. We packed it all in.
And I think he got 20 feet from the front door.
Well, we went out to, we lived in an apartment, like a 6-unit, and I sat on the stoop, and he was trying to walk away down the sidewalk with the suitcase, and this little old lady that lived above us.
Yeah.
She was coming home from work, and she saw Greg, and she's, what's going on here with this? It was almost as big as him, the suitcase. And he goes, oh, I'm running away from home. And
I had to take all my stuff with.
And she's, oh, well, good luck with that. Good luck on your trip.
You're turning into a hobo now, huh? Riding the rails, I am. Riding the rails with my suitcase. And then for me, I think I don't know, I was upset. Who knows what about? Mm-hmm. And you're like, well, you know what you could do? You need a little space? Here's a shovel. You know, what for? You know, like, you can dig a hole in China and go live there.
Yeah, if you're not so happy here.
Yeah, like, oh. I'm like, yeah, I heard that before. I think I've heard you could dig a hole in China.
Yeah, I think I'll try.
I'm going to try. Yeah. And about 1 foot later, this is hard work. Especially since the shovel you gave me was like a sandcastle. Yeah, a sandcastle shovel.
I got the smallest shovel I could.
Good. You're like, it was big enough for me. I'm like, oh, this makes sense. All right, cool. I'll buy it. Like, oh. So Greg didn't run away, and I didn't dig a hole in China. So, you know, learned our lessons.
You know what, though? That's a great lesson. But
is it?
You know what?
Was it a great lesson?
I think that, well, I don't. You made me think of something that I was wanting Dad and Greg to do.
What was that?
Because you told me that it's kind of a new dealie of this father and son wrote a book on becoming hobos.
Yes.
Riding the rails. And I thought, wouldn't it be great if Greg and Dad could, even if it was just for a weekend.
Right.
Or even if he could. If Greg could be released from his life for a couple of days, that they could together go ride the rails.
Would they buy a ticket or literally ride the rails?
Well, didn't you tell me they actually there's an actual art to riding the rails? You got to jump on the How do you? You got to jump on the?
I don't know. Well,
you don't remember any of this?
No, I do remember. I remember listening to the story. Yeah. Oh,
okay.
No, I remember all of it. I'm just saying, you know, it's a little scary because like the father Normano has to run.
Yeah, that's scary.
And then jump on the train.
Yeah.
And like stay in between the cars.
Oh,
you don't. They're not open typically. The cars aren't open.
So they're in that part in between the cars.
Yes,
that's where they ride,
and you just kind of hang out there.
Ooh,
it's a little scary.
That would be too scary for me. Yes. For Daddy. Yeah,
yeah. But we can have him try, or you know,
like you said, buy a ticket.
I mean, maybe that might be.
I don't know, but I kind of always love the image of like, you know, the stick with the old timey like kerchief.
Yeah,
and your stuff inside the kerchief.
Yeah,
and you just. Pulled over your shoulders and like.
And back in those days, they must not have had to drink water like we had to. I mean, I had to be hydrated and I mean, I have to drink like 10 glasses of water a day. I mean,
I have to be hydrated. I have to have my sunscreen, my moisturizer.
Yeah. How did they ride the rails?
Yeah.
And you know,
riding
I got charging your phone.
The city of New Orleans.
Exactly. So I don't know.
Did you remember the Family Guy? He said, the young son, Chris, said, "Daddy, was it really true? Is there really a city of New Orleans?" And Peter goes, "I'm not sure. I think so. It may be in the lore, but..." And they go, "But what about the song? Riding on the train to city of New Orleans, Illinois Central." "I don't know. It could have been a fantasy. We don't know. There might have been the lost city of New Orleans."
I don't remember this.
You don't remember that one? And so they made this whole dealio up about
the lost city of New Orleans.
Lost city of New Orleans.
They not pronounce it either.
And you would find it in the bottom of the ocean.
Yeah.
There'd be like pianos and
saxophones.
Saxophone players.
Lots of beads.
Lots of beads and prostitutes.
Voodoo stuff.
Like a lot of old black men rocking on their rocking chairs.
The city of New Orleans.
That's it.
Yeah,
baby.
Got it.
And
NCIS.
It's going to be there.
There was an NCIS episode. NCIS Los Angeles or LA, whatever the hell they call it.
Not New Orleans.
No.
New Orleans.
I do like that one. I like seeing Steve Bachmer or whatever his name
is. What is his name?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Quantum Leap dude.
Yeah.
But and they said, the line was in the show, "Tell those CSI dudes not to mess up my crime scene." I'm like, it's the battling acronyms, you know, or whatever the abbreviations.
Well, I remember you said to me, I know they were talking about the Les Moonves thing.
Yes.
And you said, "It's going to be, Mom, but what's going to happen to the NCIS, CSI
franchise?"
Yeah. And I went, I go, "Is it also Law and Order?" And he went, "No.
That's NBC."
Yeah.
I go, you know, I said to you, I was like, they were all praising him about how great he did, how he took this network
and made so much. This huge
thing. I'm like, they can't find some other old dude to just figure out that CSI and NCIS, you know, we like crime dramas. Like, that's like amazing.
Yeah.
I think they can figure it out. I think they can add NCIS, you know, Chicago.
Yeah.
You know.
What about, we have acronyms. We have FAIL.
Yeah.
Forge ahead and leverage.
That's ours.
That's ours.
Yeah.
FAIL, Chicago. No, FAIL, Dixon.
Yeah. Exactly. Dixon. Forge ahead and leverage, Dixon.
Dixon.
Do it. Do it. Do it. Do it. Do it.
Yeah. We got crime in Dixon.
Yeah.
You know, we have like little bicycle cops.
Yes.
And in fact, it made the radio, the
local
radio. We have
smart criminals. No, we have smart cops on bicycles and dumb criminals in cars.
That's true.
We do. That's our thing.
And it made the radio. Can you tell the story?
It made the radio, people.
Yes, the local DIXON AM. I think that's it.
That is?
It's DXON.
Oh, is that what it is?
AM.
Okay, so here it is. Our police officer riding his bike on a Saturday, beautiful afternoon. Mm-hmm. I'm sure when he got hired, he's like, "When did I have to become a bicyclist rider?" Yeah. And so he's riding his bike, and somebody was driving their car and talking on the phone at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Which in Dixon is a no-no.
It's a no-no. Yeah, I've been pulled over
really,
for that.
Yeah. Normano's been pulled over for that. It's really just, that's the kind of crime we have in Dixon.
That's the kind of crime, I know.
However,
except for our comptroller who stole $54 million
over
18 years or something like that.
And also the documentaries on Netflix called All the Queen's Horses.
Yes.
Go see it. It's an award-winning documentary on the little town of Dixon and what the heck happened.
What the heck happened?
What the heck happened?
Yes.
It's worth it.
It is worth it.
Yeah, all the Queen's Horses.
Yeah, it's pretty fascinating.
Yeah.
It's pretty fascinating because the people who were kind of in that inner circle didn't hello, I could have told you she was stealing.
Yeah, we're like going, I always wondered, like, whose house is that?
We would say we saw these two houses.
House, and it was like so amazingly, and it had
just
all these horses, all
like,
different
who lives
from
here.
Who lives here?
Oh,
little did we know.
It's
our comptroller.
Yeah. Our comptroller lives
here.
How
does she live there? We have
who
a
has
great...
50 horses?
Who has thoroughbreds?
Yeah. In Dixon, Illinois.
Yeah.
Oh, our comptroller. Oh.
Of course.
She's not stealing money.
Yeah. And it's interesting because, like, you know, how come Dixon doesn't have money to, like, salt the streets? Like, the little town next to Sterling said, you know, we wrote a letter and we said, you know, we get the same amount of money as you do. And we got surplus. What's going on?
Yeah, you guys have a debt. You have debt. A huge amount of debt.
What's going on? Can we look, please?
When I heard that in the documentary, I was floored. I'm like, wait. our neighbor town wrote mm-hmm. a letter to us mm-hmm. saying, hey, mm-hmm. You've got some issues. Did he write the letter to the editor? Like, was it in the paper? Because I didn't know about that. I would have said, hey, what's going on here?
It was an anonymous op-ed piece.
Yeah. So go on. Tell a story, girlfriend.
Well, it was just that, you know, the little cop on the bike.
Yeah.
Pulled this guy over because obviously he's talking on the phone and that's a
no-no.
Not too
smart, yeah.
However, when he got there and the window was rolled down, the officer smelled a strong scent of cannabis.
Yes.
Which that's what he said. That's what they said on the radio, which I think means weed.
I think, I'm not 100% sure. Yeah.
We're not really sure. We're not those kind
of girls. That was one. He's like, oh. So now the cop is disappointed because now he's like, now I got to effing check your car.
Park my bike.
Yeah, park my bike.
You got to get out of the car.
And I got to, you know, and I got to put you on the corner. Don't go there. I can't even put you back in my car. Go car. It's a bicycle built for two. That would have been hysterical. And he goes, you sit in that back seat.
Yeah. Or I go check out your three-wheel bike.
Oh, yeah.
It has like the little.
Or a sidecar. Like, yeah. You sit in that sidecar. I go. Yeah. And then he has to pedal back. Yeah. That'd be funny as hell.
And so, when he was doing a little bit of a check in the car, he found cannabis.
In quantity. So much quantity that it became a felony. And so much quantity that it looked like it was intent to distribute.
Yes.
Or to have a really good weekend. I don't know. He was going for a retreat.
Yes. And then he tried to pay his, what do they call it? Not the fine, but to let him
bond
be, or his bond or whatever to be released with a check. And the found out came in his record he had a bad check cashing issue. So they couldn't even write a check for that. Dang
like,
it.
Dude.
It was and not so, his day.
And I say this, that if first off, if you smell of cannabis.
Yes.
And second, you have enough weed in your car to distribute. Mm-hmm. maybe not talk on the phone.
Yeah.
I know you're talking like, hey, dude, I got your pot for the weekend and mm-hmm. I'll be there in 20 minutes. Mm-hmm. Oh, shit, a cop just stopped me. You know, oh, dude, man.
Here's the thing. Couldn't he have outrun the cop? The cop's on the bike. He's in a car.
Well, you know, thank God he didn't.
Yeah, it's true.
I mean, he could have. He really could have. Because we have dumb criminals.
Yes.
But we also have, he was high on pot. Yeah. He's like, oh, dude, man.
Yeah.
Aw.
This cop, he's cool. He's on a bike.
Yeah.
He's going to have mercy on me.
Exactly.
He's going to see that I'm just chilling.
Yeah, no. He's like, I can't stop this, dude. Yeah. Sorry. That ain't going to happen. I got to take you in. So, I mean, like, how crazy is that?
Yeah, I like this idea of smart and dumb criminals.
Yeah. Well, I mean, in some ways, our mastermind criminal, what was her name?
The girl from the comptroller?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. What was her name? Oh, my gosh.
I can't think of her name right now. It's so bizarre.
Cromwell,
yeah. Rita.
Rita Cromwell. Yeah, she's in prison now.
Yes. For decades, she was good at it.
Yeah.
She was good at it because she took the money in. She put it in her bank. She wrote checks out. Mm-hmm. She balanced the checks, mm-hmm. balanced the books.
She was in control. She was the comptroller.
And we were audited every year. When you hear what went down, you realize how easy it was to steal. Because I think generally people don't want to believe people are stealing.
Well, I was always amazed that company, built a brand new building.
The auditors?
Yeah.
That were sued?
Yeah.
And they kind of distributed
for
money?
For millions. Yeah. They got sued for millions and had to pay. But they built a brand new building.
Yes.
In Dixon.
Yes.
And I'm like, that's hubris.
That is hubris. And how dare you? They're like, yeah. Like, and it's busy.
It's busy all the time. We want to go there to have our money.
Yeah. We're like, you know what? Maybe I should go there. They knew how to cook the books.
Well, it's interesting because even our bank, you know, I've never liked our bank, honestly, but it's such a hassle.
To change banks, I know.
But they were probably in some kind of cahoots with it, and they got sued for millions of dollars as well. And now, like, if we go to the bank and we want to, you know, cash a check for $300 or something, and they go like,
we need to see proof of identification in four different ways.
Really?
And
really?
Where's your passport at?
Yeah.
I'm like, crazy. We've been going here for years. Come on, people.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I recommend seeing the movie overall.
All the Queen's Horses.
I was watching it with Doug and Hillary and Dave, and the first thing I thought was, we look so rural.
Was it an out-of-body experience?
It really was.
Yeah.
And I mean, we live in the country.
They made it look like we were like,
it kind of felt like that. Or at least it felt like the average age was 80. And Lily White, I'm like, oh my God, I feel like our town is so metropolitan. Yeah. I don't know. And so diverse. But it kind of is. I mean, we've got a big hospital. We've got a big prison. And we're only 100 miles from Chicago. I mean, maybe because I grew up in the suburbs.
Yeah.
And also, too, with internet connection, I feel everybody's just hip.
Mm.
Everybody's just hip. We're all hipsters.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and most of us have replacement hips.
And most of those hipsters can be replaced.
Yep, exactly. That was the joke I was trying to find. Yeah, where is that? There's a joke in here. Yeah. There's a joke somewhere in this pile of poop. There's my donkey or pony, one or the other. So can I tell you a Me Too story?
Absolutely.
A hashtag Me Too story.
Yes.
I'm just not sure how I feel about this study, mm-hmm. the story.
Mm-hmm.
It happened to me, first
mm-hmm.
off,
mm-hmm.
but certainly you were
a part of it.
A willing participant. I would call you my pimp.
And Hermano was a part of it.
He was certainly
a witness.
A witness and chose not to do anything about it.
Mm-hmm.
You warned him about it. And you said, I think the first thing you said was, bring Julie with you because this golf cart repair man, now that we have four golf carts, a surprise, one of them needs repair.
Let me give a little bit of a history.
Okay, go for it.
One of the golf carts is Dad's fiddling around golf cart, meaning that it needs, it's a Harley Davidson.
Can I tell you a side story really quick on this?
Sure, yeah.
Dad told me in private.
Yeah.
He said, this is after you bought the fourth golf cart.
Mm-hmm.
He goes, you know, I went along with buying the second golf cart, the third golf cart. Mm-hmm. Because I felt at that time that would satisfy Mom,
mm-hmm.
and that we wouldn't have bought a fourth one.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think he was surprised.
Well, he's the one that bought the third one.
Yes,
he bought the third one. Because we were together, and I said, it's up to you. And then I took a phone call, and then...
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And so he's saying that he felt that he could feel your energy for the need to buy golf carts.
Mm-hmm.
And he felt by buying this one, that was a pretty reasonable price.
Yes.
Because, you know.
Yes.
Just a few hundred dollars.
Yes.
That that would satisfy it.
Yes.
And call it an end to it.
Right.
It was his cheap way. He was a cheap way
cheapo,
of getting out.
Cheap ass way of.
And he was wrong.
He was wrong.
You would
baby.
Not have your hole would not have been satisfied until you bought another golf cart. Which is in your mind, it says
my tank was still empty.
Now the last one, of course, was your favorite golf cart.
Yes.
And that's the golf cart that gets in the garage.
See, thank God.
Thank God.
See, the last one I bought is my favorite.
That's how it always works, right?
And so that means
the last child you have is always your favorite.
Yes, exactly.
Because like, I don't need another child. I got Greg.
I got
He's
it.
Like my favorite one. I don't, I'm like, I'm happy with that. I'm still having to work my debt off to you. I'm like, I'm still trying to win Mom over. I can't do it.
So you're right though, but this, it's an old Harley Davidson and it's like a two-stroke engine. So, and Norm grew up on his motorcycles.
Hot stroke.
He grew up on two-stroke engines. So
yeah.
He's like always tinkering with this, except that in the ensuing weeks and months that he's been tinkering, he's started several engine fires.
Yes.
And so we do not want to take this. We do not want to take it into town. This
right.
golf cart, because we feel that people would know, the people that we want to take it to.
We'd know what we did.
We'd know what we did, know the origin of it.
Yeah.
And so we've been wanting to, we take it outside, we take it to Oregon.
Right.
And we took it to Oregon, and the guy said, you've got to take it to Bob's. He's like the man.
He's the man.
And now we've been to Bob.
I've been to Bob. I went to Bob first before we bought the second golf cart.
Right.
To put an order in for a golf cart for
now,
Dad.
Now, Bob lives on a farm
mm-hmm.
in an old farmhouse.
Yes.
That has about 30 to 40 old golf carts scattered around the property.
Right.
You would think that he's in the golf cart business.
And he is. And so I had already been to Bob and know Bob. He's got to be 80-something, late 70s.
85 years. Oh, honey, he's got to be in his mid-80s.
Okay.
Yeah.
He's got a helper that was he goes, oh, he's got health issues of his own. He was in the war, Vietnam, and
mm-hmm. Agent Orange
did a number on him. I'm like, oh man, this place got some stories.
It's got some stories.
And he was just, when I first met him, he was just openly flirting with me. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, you're such a good looking girl, and you're so
called
hot,
you handsome,
handsome, you handsome. I'm like, oh, thanks.
What do you do? Because he's 85 years old, you know.
Yeah, like, and you're just like. I'm like,
you just said, sir, and you know,
he's
not
using
hashtag?
A walker. So I'm like, I do not feel threatened by him.
Right.
I don't feel anything by it. Except that this is kind of fun. He's just being flirty with me.
Yeah.
Whatever. And he's not being gross.
No.
He's just being flirty.
Yeah.
And, you know, it would be a little uncomfortable if he was, you know, my
handsy.
Age and you know.
Yeah.
You know, like, but there's nothing going on here.
No. Okay? So that was, but our first experience was, hey, can we want to buy a used golf cart?
Yes.
Can you get one for us? And at that point, he was like, no, not really.
He goes, maybe in a month I can do it.
No.
And we just felt there was no guarantee this was ever going to come through.
No. So we just put him on the back burner.
Yes. Exactly.
Now.
We've got to use him.
Now we've got a choice.
Yes.
And the choice is go to him and have him fix this because Norm keeps burning up the engine.
Yes, whatever Norm is doing, he's not doing it right.
No, and he goes, oh, another fire, another wire got on fire.
Yeah, and you're like, what?
And so I thought either I am gonna this golf cart is either gonna go to like
cars for
1-877 cars for kids, gonna have a golf cart, you know?
Yeah,
or we're gonna fix it and it will become part of our little. You know,
exactly.
Golf cart rental business.
Right. Which we have not yet had one customer yet.
Yes.
So those are our options. So then you decide, go to Bob, take your dad with you so he treats you seriously and so forth.
So luckily we pulled in.
Yeah, he was right
and
there.
He's working. Outside working with his helpers in the
golf
little
cart.
Back. Yeah, and so I go, and dad gets out. They go, no, wait a minute, Julie.
Dad was just going to talk to him.
Yeah.
And then you said, Julie, go with him. He thinks you're cute.
Dad goes, what's going on? I go, no, trust me. He likes Julie.
Yes.
You are going to need her.
Yes.
If you want him to pay attention to you.
Yes. You want to take Julie with you.
Yes.
I'm like, oh, my God.
So already I'm pimping Julie out.
You're pimping me out, man. I mean, really, you're just whoring me out here. I don't even get – there's nothing I get in return. There's nothing except like, oh, you know.
Take one for the team.
You know, I'm just taking one for the team. But also, I'm not offended. This guy, in no way do I feel – I'm like enjoying it as well, I guess.
Mm-hmm. He's in a wheelchair now.
A walker, yeah.
He's in a walking chair.
Yeah. And he gets around quite well. I'm pretty impressed by him.
Yeah.
He's hunched over. He last year had a golf. He got damaged by a golf cart.
I thought he had a car accident, but really it was a cart accident.
It was a cart accident.
A golf cart accident.
He had it up on Jack's, this golf cart. Mm-hmm. Didn't realize the carburetor was open.
Mm-hmm.
And it wouldn't start. And so once he got that fixed for this guy, it took off like a banshee and ran over him.
Ooh.
Broke his hip. Punctured his lungs.
Yeah.
Like, holy mother of God.
Not a good thing.
No. And so, you know, he's basically very unfiltered at the moment.
Yes.
So we're talking to him and then he asks us to come in and fill out paperwork. And he starts just saying weird shit like to dad, like, oh, don't stand next to her, to your daughter too closely because you may catch on fire. She's so hot. Dad's like, what the
Dad's like,
what do I do?
What do
Christy
I do?
Has already told me to bring Julie in because it'll move. I will get what I want. and he's like, what do I do? And I'm like, you do nothing. You do literally nothing. You know? And I knew I had to go. I mean, I knew this was going to go down. I was curious. I had an air of curiosity about me.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, I'm curious how this is going to go down.
Yes.
Like, will he say anything that's inappropriate? And so I'm talking to him a little bit. I'm telling him how handsome he looks in his overalls. And he gets a lot. I go, you look so cute in your walker. and so we get on and he talks about, here's my card. Here's my cell phone because my home phone doesn't work. And I go, oh, well, do you have internet out here? He goes, oh, I don't know about the internet. My wife may have that, you know. Mm-hmm. And I thought to myself, yeah, this guy has no idea what's going on in the world. Not, but which is fine.
He knows how to fix a Harley-Davidson golf cart.
And as he says, in our community, he's probably delivered over 150 golf carts to our community alone. Yes. And he has rebuilt many of the ones he's given people over and over again because, you know, as he says, three or four times he told us this that day. He said, I have the people I have sold golf carts to in the beginning no longer live there because they're dead. Dun, dun, dun. They're dead. I'm like, okay.
And
got
I'm
it.
Still standing.
Yes.
Or leaning.
What, however it is. Yeah. You still do something. It's all good.
And then I remember there was one part Norm said that he goes, and you, I don't want you tinkering with that golf cart anymore.
Yeah.
How do you say it? I don't want you starting any more
fires.
Fires, because this one over here is hot enough.
Yeah, this one's hot enough. Like, what? He's like, will you stop talking about my daughter like this? I don't know what to do.
And Dad's like, this is so awkward.
I feel
and
so uncomfortable.
Christine wants me to get this golf cart.
And like, you know, Julie's handling it. It's not she feels embarrassed. It is what it is.
She can outrun him.
Yeah. It's just more like awkward, weird. And just that he just continued.
I know.
And then and like I said, I didn't feel bad. I didn't feel abused.
You didn't, Julie? You didn't want to do a hashtag Me Too thing?
I didn't. I wanted to share it with the people on the podcast.
Yes.
Because it makes me happy.
Yes.
When I can do that. And yes. I feel happy when I do that.
And if the guy would have been younger, would not have been in a walker and hunched over.
And, you know, carried, like, you know, his screwdriver with him. Like a weapon.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I don't know. Maybe I would feel like, oh, this is a little sexually charged. Mm-hmm. Here, this guy was just...
Mm-hmm. Or you could say, sir, I am not taking my business here. I'm taking my business elsewhere. But we're like...
Where would I go? They're literally... Place. Everybody we went to said, Bob fixes golf carts.
Yeah, go to Bob's. Yeah. He was our
No one said the other place where we bought one of the golf cars. Nobody said go there. Do you realize that?
Yeah, exactly.
That's kind of weird.
That is weird.
I think because they're like, they don't fix them. Just sell them.
Well, I did see a mechanic from our place. You know, all of our mechanics that we go to, they ride their bikes to work because they can't drive.
Right.
Because they're all...
They're environmentalists? Nah.
Not really.
Yeah.
Because they just can't. At this
infer what you want to infer.
And so we saw one of our mechanics driving down the street on his bike, and I went, Julie, stop. Maybe he could come. Maybe we'll just pick him up.
Right.
Put his bike in the back of the trunk and have him come to the house and see if he can work on the golf cart.
Which is very weird that you have this thought of just picking people up from the road.
I just do. I just feel like I
don't understand
just pick
why.
Up people. I don't know why either.
It's bizarre.
I know. And only in retrospect.
Does it look bizarre to you?
Do I feel like that? Maybe that wasn't appropriate.
I think you think it's the universe's way of helping you out.
Yes.
Like, obviously, the universe put this man in my journey.
Right. Obviously, if he wouldn't be traveling down the street on a bike.
Yeah. I can put his bike in my van and he can fix my golf cart.
Yes.
That must be what the universe wants me to do.
Exactly.
Because if you don't ask, no one answers. If you don't knock, nobody comes to the door.
And I can only catch a check that your butt has to pay for.
I have they had to pay for. So, yeah. And crazy. Crazy. So, so we have to go to Bob's. But, Bob said like three or four other things. Like, then at the end, he goes, you know, little lady, what do you do for a living? You know, tell me more about you. I'm like, oh, well, I go, I work online and I drive a semi. And he goes, you have to be cross-eyed. You drive a semi? Because my dad already said he drove a semi. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm only a semi. You know, I'm a semi driver. I don't, And so he's like, oh, all right. So that might have taken him, I don't know if he was excited by that thought.
Mm. And I think he has to think about it.
I thought he knew nothing
Does
about
your semi
a female,
have a sleeper?
Yeah. Working online and a female driving a semi.
Yeah.
Both two things.
Yeah.
Which is so bizarre to me.
What do you think what would have been his fantasy? Little lady, what do you do for a living? I'm a waitress at a 24-hour diner.
Yeah. And I wear a short skirt with an apron.
Mm-hmm. And I have a little problem with this button right here. It just won't stay closed. It just pops open all the time. Darn it.
And I come and I always keep your coffee filled.
Yes.
And if you want cream, I'm here for you. I'll give you cream.
And sugar, honey.
And sugar.
That would have been the...
I think that would have been the thing. That's the fantasy he has. And I'm just thinking that these two old guys have worked together for decades.
Yes.
Since the war. Since the Vietnam War.
The Agent Orange War.
Yeah. I'm thinking they have told the same jokes.
Yeah.
They have had the same conversations 1,001 times. They look like they're having a good time.
Yeah.
They look like there's no stress.
No stress.
And he goes, yeah, I keep him employed. He was, you know, had a hard time after the war.
Yeah.
I'm like, what war are we talking about?
Yeah.
You know, I know people, I mean, he looked a little old for Afghanistan, you know, or Iraq.
Korea.
And, you know, like, Korea maybe. I go, no.
Vietnam.
I'm like, ah, we need to get this man help. If we can't help him.
No, because I want him to fix our damn golf cart first.
Yeah, he needs more people to help fix the golf carts and so forth.
It's so really weird because he goes, well, let's go pick their golf cart up today. We're going to be in Lost Nation.
Yep. And then the guy goes, nope. Can't do it.
Can't do it. He's not there. There's another guy on the list ahead of him.
Exactly. So he can't do it.
So we weren't on the list, but we are on the list now.
We are on the list now.
We just aren't. We weren't. See, Jill, your beauty didn't move us up on the list one bit.
I guess it's not pretty enough, or I didn't use it.
But we're on the list.
I'm on the list, so that's good. I got all the guys on the list.
You got us on the list.
Okay, I'll take it.
Yeah.
He hasn't called us back yet.
No.
But he said next week, which I've heard that before.
Yeah, I know that.
Give me a call next week. Yeah. We'll figure this out. Mm. You know, we got a phone call from Columbia, Missouri over the week. Because you've been in the mood to buy stuff lately.
Oh, right. I had to think about this.
Yeah. And it was interesting because you put a bid in for a car on eBay.
Mm-hmm.
And you won the bid, mm-hmm. but you didn't win the car because it did not hit its reserve yet.
Mm-hmm.
And you always feel cheated because you're like, well, if I would have known the reserve, maybe I'd bet the reserve, mm-hmm. you know.
Mm-hmm. I wouldn't have, but
no,
yes.
This reserve was like $5,000 more than what your high bid was.
Yes,
exactly.
Because
you're like, I really want... A car that you feel in alignment with, like, you know.
Well, I've been wanting a car that I could go to Dollywood in. I want to travel in.
Right.
You know, I want to go to your graduation in February.
Yes.
And I just want it to have fewer miles on it.
Right. Because you're going to put about $2,000 in miles on it.
Right.
But it was interesting because so I get this phone call because I guess you used my account on eBay to place the bet.
Yes, I did.
So I get this call and I'm like, who's Columbia, Missouri? I kind of know people in Missouri. I should go check it out, you know? And so they're like, hey, is this Julie? I go, yeah. Hey, you just put a bid on. I'm like, What did I bid on now?
You look at me. What did Mama do?
What did Mama do?
In my
Chrissy, name. Chrissy, got to explain it to you. Well, I see that you were the high bidder on eBay for this Kia, 2017 Kia.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, oh, sure. And I'm like, okay, I can play along.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I tell everybody, I really don't know where. I have to pretend to be you so many times.
You don't know, yeah.
I know. And I know your security number so well that there are times I go, what's your social security number?
You forget yours.
Like, what the hell is mine? What is mine? You know, and then, so I'm talking to the guy, and he's like, yeah, you know, I can't give it to you what you bet, your high bet was. I'm like, okay, what's the reserve? And I was like, you know, they never want to tell you anything because we're playing this cat and mouse game. And you're like, I'm like, dude, I want to tell you right now, the way my parents work with regular car, because they're a semi-driver family,
mm-hmm.
if it's going to be, you know, if it costs more than $30,000, the truth is it better make money.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, you look at cars differently.
We look at vehicles so much differently.
Yeah.
Being a family of truckers.
You know, a car, literally a month out of when we buy it,
right.
will have lost $1,000 of value.
Oh, honey.
I know.
A lot more than that.
And you'll put a ton of miles on it because we drive them.
Yeah.
And, you know, so we have this kind
of sweet spot. We're 20 miles into town.
Yeah. And we have this sweet spot and we have this that you're trying to raise. Like, you know, you have this vibration of car that you like.
Mm-hmm.
It looks nice, new, mm-hmm. newer,
mm-hmm.
but used for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And now you're trying to say, I want to upgrade. I want to upgrade in my lifestyle. Mm-hmm. So you're looking at newer cars.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem is, they're like, you know, they're more money.
What happened?
When did they get expensive?
When did cars get expensive?
And I've told you this because we have bought, in the last 8 to 10 years, you have bought a car that was 1 year old one time.
Yeah. And I
hated it. You hate everything about it.
I did. Because I was so surprised.
And the reason why you hate everything about it was because you're like, this is not any different really than my other car.
It doesn't do. I was 1 year old. It was beautiful.
Beautiful car.
But a light bulb went out. I could not go to our mechanics and get the light bulb changed. I had to go make an appointment.
To the dealership.
To the dealership. And it was like 100, 200. It was like a crazy amount of money
and
for a light bulb.
And also, the car was nice inside, but after about a month, it looked just like your other car.
And I had no place for my purse.
No. The other car is a minivan. Like, we have always had vans.
Yes.
Now we have minivans.
Yeah. We basically have rooms on wheels.
Yes. We have a minivan. Exactly right.
That's what we used to
and
have.
And that's how we like it.
And that's because we're truckers. We're used to taking
everything with us. Including our dog.
You never know.
No.
When you're going to have to, you know, do another 500 miles.
You just never know. No. Better be prepared.
That's right.
You know, and we never have less than a quarter tank in our tank.
Never.
Because you never know when you got to take off.
Yeah.
Get some miles underneath you.
Yeah.
And so I've been thinking about this a lot. And because of that experience that when we bought the new car, the newer car, it was an Acadia. I'm just going to come and say it. Mm-hmm. It's a beautiful looking car.
Yes.
Lots of bells and whistles, all that good stuff. Mm-hmm. It was a beautiful car. Mm-hmm. But because of that experience, I have a hard time spending any real money on a car.
Yeah.
Like, if we buy a car over $16,000 or $15,000, mm-hmm. like approaching $22,000, mm-hmm. I mean, that's what you're kind of looking at right now, mm-hmm. $22,000 to $25,000, mm-hmm. it just feels horrible to me.
Mm-hmm.
Because will we experience
that kind of joy?
That kind of joy.
Yeah.
When we know that if you, like the Acadia, you sold 2 weeks later.
I think it was more like 2 months later.
And you broke even on it.
Luckily, I broke even on
it.
Yeah.
And, you know, I remember Dad's like, we're trying to sell the Acadia. And Dad's like, yeah, maybe I'll give it away for like, we'll sell it for $14,000. I'm like, first of all, with everything, you're at $17,000 or $18,000 for that Acadia. Mm-hmm. You have to sell it for that kind of money. Mm-hmm. Or Mom will be very upset. Mm-hmm. And you did. You broke even on it.
Right.
Because you got a little bit of discount.
Right.
So it's very interesting to be this place where a family that has never really, like, we have an expensive car. Mm-hmm. It's our MG.
Mm-hmm.
And it's worth twice as much as you, or maybe three times as much as you paid for it.
Oh, I mean, it's and you paid, it goes up and down in value.
Yeah.
According to who knows whatever.
According to
but
what?
But it's like, it's a 1960, so it's like 60 years old.
Yeah.
It will be.
And it runs. Runs great. We have fun with it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But it earns money. I mean,
It's an asset.
It's an asset.
Yeah.
You know, it's an asset. It's not something that at the end of the day we go to, you know, 1-800 cars for kids and say, can I have, you know, here you go, here's my donation for $500. You know, it actually has value. So we just have to really, it's been bothering me because I cannot wrap my head around this car situation because I know you want to upgrade, but I'm just struggling
but don't struggle because I am truly of the mindset that it's going to come.
Okay.
I'm very serious. I have patience,
okay.
And I have been told internally that I will absolutely know when the car that I'm supposed to get has come.
All right, well, then I will put this aside because
yes, you do that.
I have been stressing because I know I really love to give you what you want.
I know you do. I love that about you.
No.
Dad always says to me, do you realize how Julie just loves you? I go, I know she loves me. He goes, no. She, like, wants to make you happy.
Yeah.
She, like, wants to make you, give you what you want. But I know, isn't that great?
Isn't that great? Like,
of course, then I got Normano, which is the opposite.
I don't think Normano doesn't want to make you happy. I think he just, his natural state causes you distress. Just, you know, I don't know. It's like everything he does.
At this point.
Just,
yes.
You're working with the energies.
Yeah, everything he does upsets me.
Yes, exactly.
And I have to just like, I have to get into a mode of, what do we call it? The art of ignoring.
Art of ignoring, exactly.
Yeah. Not the art of ignorance, but the art of ignoring.
No, there's a difference that, you know, kind of know when to fold them, know when to show them, know when to walk away, know when to run. And, you know, you're to the point where you're like,
and he's going back to work next week from being off for like 3 months with his knee replacement surgery.
Yes, he's slowly been getting back in.
So now I can miss him.
And
isn't
that's a
great place to be.
It really is.
I miss you,
I
darling.
Miss you. It is a great place to
I
be.
Know.
And I mean, for me, it gets a little old because I'm like, God, you know, do you not remember when he was home 24/7? Had that caused you distress?
And I said, I remember like the second or third day that he was home. I said, you know, I've got this. I came to you and I said, I need to talk to you. I go, you know, he's on Medicare. He can be in a nursing home.
Yeah, he's can allowed, convalesce.
He's allowed to convalesce for 2 or 3 weeks. Let's call.
Yeah.
Mother.
I go, we're not putting Dad in a nursing home.
And that's what you said. I go, but wouldn't it be awesome, I said, to visit him? Yeah. Let's just get in that visiting mode.
Yeah.
I can be like so cheerful.
Yeah.
Hey, darling, what'd you have for breakfast?
Yeah, tell me what's going on.
What's going on? What'd you watch for TV today?
Now I know I'm making him his breakfast, and I know he's watching on TV, and he's driving me crazy. Yeah. I know I've had to really like tell Dad, like, you know, say, like, we're not putting Dad in a convalescent nursing home right now. I mean, he could go.
You put your foot down.
Well, and the reason why is because privately we've had this conversation, Normano and I have, which is, now, Julie, I know your mother's going to want to put me in a nursing home, but I don't want to go in a nursing home. I don't want to convalesce. I know I can go into a convalescent nursing home right now, but he goes, but after my surgery, you know, I really just want to come home and convalesce at home. I want to be at home. Can I be at home? Will you take care of me? I'm like, yes, I will champion for your point of view. And then I'll support Mom and her point of view. And I'm like,
Julie,
well, Mom,
come here. I'll talk to you about something. Yeah. I go, he's on Medicare.
Yeah.
He can.
We're allowed.
Yeah.
You know,
2 to 3 weeks in a nursing home. Wouldn't that be awesome? We could go visit him every day.
Yeah. Which we wouldn't. I'd go visit him every day. You're like, oh, man, tell him to come out and go for a ride with us. So yeah, but that has ended. I mean, it took a lot longer than you guys listen to the podcast on the countdown to the knee surgery, what had happened was
they were all gonna be like
3 to 4 weeks he'd be back at work full time.
Yeah, he's gonna be like super.
Oh man, that first couple of days he was
a wreck.
Oh, we didn't leave the hospital first of all. The whole point of him coming home the first day did not happen.
No, because he was supposed to just get kind of like an anesthetic in the back.
Yeah, like a spinal.
Yeah, and somehow they couldn't put it in for him.
He had too much arthritis in his spinal
supposedly.
Cord. Yeah, something like that.
And so they had to put him out.
Yeah. Now that I say that, I feel so bad because I've been really, him and I both, we both are very stiff. In the sense that when we get out of the car, like our knees just don't go flat. You know, we don't stand up straight right away. And he bends up, like curls over a little bit. And I'm always pushing him, like, stand up straight, stand up straight, stand up straight. And he goes, just give me a second. I go, we promised each other, Daddy, you and I both promised each other that we would start looking like with our, you know, do the Jordan Peterson rule, you know,
stand up
like a lobster, you know, shoulders back,
straight. Meet
the world, be brave. And I'm like, yeah, but my back hurts and my knees hurt and yada, yada, yada. So we're working on it though. We're working on it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Trying to get
there. And the time has come that he has formally been released by his doctor.
Yes.
It was so funny because the doctor said to him, so what have you been doing or something about with your time? Or I'm just like, oh, I'm okay. He goes, watch Shameless.
Yeah. Watch Shameless on Netflix. You'll like it.
You'll like it.
Like, oh, when did binging become an antidote to pain? I'm like, okay.
Don't take Narco.
Yeah, don't take Narco.
Just watch Shameless.
Just watch Shameless. You'll love it. And then your aunt said, I gotta watch Shameless not on Netflix, from the library.
Mm-hmm. She gets everything from the library.
Yeah, which is so sweet.
Because she's like 87 years old and she doesn't know about the internets.
No. So you're gonna have to do
that. She goes to the library.
For sure. So, well, girl, anything else going on with you this week? How's the week been for you?
Trying to think.
See anything interesting, TV or anything like that?
Not that I can recall.
Okay, cool.
Well, I'm trying to think. Not really.
That's good.
Do you know of anything? Are you trying to give me some signals here?
No, like, I'm just noticing that we've got about, you know, 8 minutes left of the show.
Oh, well, you know, one thing which is kind of great. I mean, everybody knows we have had a garden this year.
Oh, yeah.
And it's because of the rain and everything, these two plots that we've had have just been amazingly abundant.
Yes.
And if you want to really understand abundance and the idea of seeds and how things grow, I mean, we've had cucumbers up the wazoo this year. And we've had tomatoes that have just been amazing. And we have we call this guy at the gym the old guy.
Yeah.
Because he's Bud. We finally learned his name.
Yeah.
But he's clearly the oldest guy in the gym.
Yes.
And he comes every day, and we can talk to him. Julie can talk to him because she doesn't mind letting everybody in the gym know whatever she's talking about, because she has to scream at him like this, you know.
Yeah.
But in way back in April, or when we got our plots, we went to the high school and bought several different kinds of tomato plants and cucumbers. And the one guy goes, you know, I got this little tiny thing here. I don't know if it's going to live or not. And it's an eggplant. And it was so wilted.
Yeah.
And it was just like leaning over.
It was a little one leaf.
It was one leaf. It was sad.
Yes.
And Julie looked at me and she goes, Mom, look at this. He gave this to me for free. And
yeah. I'm like, he just didn't want to throw it away.
Yeah, exactly.
You're his trash
compartment.
And
I go, what is it? She goes, it's an eggplant. And it's like an inch long.
Yeah.
And it looks sorry.
It did.
It's got and so we planted that sucker.
Yep.
And yesterday.
We plucked a eggplant. A perfect eggplant.
And we didn't know if it was that it was perfect. You had to talk to old Bud.
I talked to him. I said, he goes, how you doing? I go, good. I go, you know, Bud, I got this little tiny eggplant from the high school. And they gave it to me for free because I didn't know it was going to live or whatever. And I grew, and it grew. Mm-hmm. And it's got a little tiny eggplant on it. Mm-hmm. And I go, it's completely purple.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if it's ready to go or not. I don't know. I mean,
we don't know. We've never.
Do they get bigger? It's small. It's not huge.
No, it's about 4 or 5 inches.
Yeah,
maybe?
And he goes, "Well, is it firm, but not too soft?" I go, "Yeah." And he's purple. I go, "Yeah." He goes,
"That's really purple.
Pluck it. Just take it off.
Just pluck it."
Yeah, you might have to cut it. You know, they might not just pull out.
Yeah.
And I'm like, he said, "What are you going to do with that eggplant?" And I go, "My mom's going to make eggplant parmesan." And she goes, "Good for her." And so I'm going to today. I'm going to make my for lunch, I might even make it. I don't know.
Yeah.
My concoction of my anti-noodle pasta,
mm-hmm.
which is,
yes.
I use green beans instead of noodles.
Yeah. Oh, and you can't tell a difference.
Excuse
me.
and you can tell a difference, but.
Just add enough Parmesan cheese and,
you know,
wine.
Exactly. No, you can tell a difference, but it's satisfying.
It's the fake pasta.
You know? And so then I've had that, and then we will use that sauce for the green beans to
yes.
For the Parmesan,
yes.
For the sauce over the eggplant Parmesan.
We're going to slice the eggplant.
Yes, but I need to get breadcrumbs
well,
now.
Well, you don't need to.
Right.
If we had some, perfection would be Italian breadcrumbs.
What about using flour?
No. But that would be the perfect thing. But really all you would have to do would be to fry it a little bit.
Yeah.
Real lightly in olive oil.
Which
on
we
both
should
sides
do.
With
yeah.
Some kosher salt,
right,
or something.
Which I should do.
And then stop, and then you start taking that as a lasagna noodle.
Got it.
Put a layer down, put some of your sauce, put some of your cheese, put another layer of a eggplant, and presto.
And
voila.
How long do you bake it?
And you could bake it, but I can't imagine it lasting that long. I would just want to eat it right then and there.
Okay,
but
well,
you
we
could
try.
Bake it.
Well, because I mean,
put
honestly,
it in the microwave or
do
bake
you
it.
Want to then buy some breadcrumbs a day for it or no?
You know, Julie, it's so small. I don't know if it'd be worth it, really.
So let's
to
not
have
worry
a
about
big thing of breadcrumbs in the house. And
then, I got some croutons.
You do?
Can I crush the croutons?
100%.
I got gluten-free croutons in the house.
Gluten-free croutons.
I got regular croutons too, maybe.
Yeah.
And just crush those babies up.
Yeah.
That'd be fine.
You could.
I would do that.
That'd be fine.
Okay. Yeah. I'm making it today. Am I making it for lunch or dinner? What do you think?
Dinner?
That sounds good.
Yeah.
I was going to work tonight. I'm just not sure yet.
Oh, yeah. I'm wondering, too, though, if now that I think about it, I wonder if you have to dip it like in an egg mixture.
I'm sure. How else are they going
to
stay on there?
Have the crumbs stay on, yeah.
How else will they stay on? I don't think they will. Yeah. So, yeah. Okay, I'm looking forward to it. Because the one thing I'm not going to do is waste this eggplant.
What's been so amazing to me is, like at dinner every night, you know, even though I am tired of cucumbers and tomatoes, is the fact that we grew these.
Yeah.
These are our cucumbers. Yeah. I mean, I'm not a girl that is like that.
And we have a whole box of onions that we grew every day.
Like, I had some onions yesterday.
Yep.
And yes, they do upset my stomach. Not because it's just because that's who I am. I don't do onions well. But I love having my onions, and I love having my cucumbers and my tomatoes.
Yeah.
And we also have dried, well, we're going to be having dried herbs.
Oh, by the way, I'm going to text my cousin, because I'm seeing her next couple weeks, and she likes to garden, and I'm going to wonder if she would like some sage.
Oh, you should ask Jamie.
I'm going to ask her.
Give a shout out to Jamie right now. Hey, Jamie.
I will text her. I'll say, hey, do you... She ended up saying yes, you know.
Yeah.
But she'll
She'll tell you if she wants to dry some.
Exactly.
Do you think she might?
I have no idea, but that's what Bud says to do. He said, I go, Bud, here's my problem. He goes, what's your problem? He goes, I've got sage and oregano in my garden that's growing like crazy, and it's beautiful. Mm-hmm. I have no idea what to do with it. Mm-hmm. Because here's the reason why. You shouldn't grow stuff that you don't normally use. I don't normally use fresh oregano or
sage
in my life. Mm-hmm. I don't do it. Mm-hmm. First thing he said was, Thanksgiving's coming up. You're going to make sage stuffing. Mm-hmm. No, I'm not going to make sage stuffing. I'm going to make sage stuffing. I mean, yes, I do like stuffing once a year at Thanksgiving, mm-hmm. Which is so weird. Well, first of all, I know why. I mean, before I was giving up bread or whatever, I mean, stuffing is like a good thing. It tastes delicious.
Stuffing is awesome.
But I literally only have it once a year.
Yeah.
Why is that?
Yeah.
And if you had it more often, would you still think it was wonderful? Yeah, you would, wouldn't
you?
Yes. Okay, so I'm not making it. So I would suggest, first of all, sage and oregano, they're both beautiful. I can see using that as ground cover even.
Well, the sage, you can sage your house out of the evil and
are you effing kidding me?
Bad demons.
Are you lying to me?
No.
That's the same kind of sage?
That's the sage you use.
To make those sage sticks that you burn?
Yes.
Oh, well, hell, I'll ask Jamie if she wants some.
Yeah.
Otherwise, now I know what I'm going to do.
Now we keep one at the Lodge Cottage Cabin.
Well, not
keep
only that, here. I can sell that on eBay.
Yes.
You know, cleansing sticks.
Yes.
Cleansing sage sticks.
Yes.
Got it. Thank you. I didn't realize they're the same.
And how much are they on eBay?
I don't know. I would charge because I would be making them with the right intention and vibration.
Oh,
$100 because
you had the right vibration.
Well, yes. I mean, you can put it in soup, mm-hmm. but to clean away the evils, what would that be worth for you?
Yes.
To not have the evils in your house, what would that be worth to you?
It would be $100.
I would think so, wouldn't
$100
it?
$100 a sage stick.
Yeah, I agree.
And I think we have enough for about 10.
I'm making a grand off that, baby.
I think we could buy another golf cart or two.
Oh, that is not motivation for me to make the sage sticks. All right. So, girlfriend, how was the show today?
Went fast.
I did.
And it was great.
It was great. It was great.